Well, Paula Sullivan calls it the cult of Mkhwanazi. Certainly the four-star police general from KwaZulu-Natal has got his supporters. He's also got those that he doesn't like. And amongst them is the Member of Parliament, Fadil Adams, the president of the National Coloured Congress. We'll find out why Mr. Adams has raised the ire of the man that so many South Africans are pinning their hopes on. But the man that Paula Sullivan says is going to be uncovered soon enough.
Cody from Paul has sold multiple vehicles to We Buy Cars. Suspicious?
I think so.
Is that a crime?
No. Where are you getting the cars?
I buy them and I sell them at the spot like a normal person.
Okay.
No, man, I'm just an accounting student. I know a good deal when I see one.
That's Excel meant. What's more stressful, tax season or selling a car at We Buy Cars?
Tax season, obviously.
We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Fadil, thanks for joining us. I know it's pretty inconvenient at the moment. You're in your car. You've managed to pull it out and just give us a little bit of your time. I was fascinated looking at your background. You've had quite a story. I suppose it was ordained being born 2 days before the 1976 Soweto riots. So what brought you into politics? I suppose that's the main thing. Before we go into the reason why General Mkhwanazi is so unhappy with you,
I think what brought me into politics is the same thing that drives most South Africans up the wall. We're all just gutful. You know, we've had it with corruption. We've had it with nepotism. We've had it with cronyism. We've had it with cater deployment. And yeah, I think I spoke a little bit louder than most. And look at me now. I'm on Biz News while I'm having my tires repaired.
But it is a, you spoke about, I mean, gutful is a fantastic word. And it is something that you used to get going. You started an organization saying, we're gutful. It's like I remember a movie where people started shouting, we're not going to take it anymore. It felt a bit like that moment looking at it from afar.
I know. It was a little bit more rhythm than that movie. But anyway, you know, it was a 90-second interview with a journalist who I dislike intensely, and she hates me right back. And it just kept on growing, and it took us all the way to Parliament. And now we're here doing exactly what we were going to do. And we are getting ostracized for it. We are getting crucified for it. But, you know, the Mkhwanazi cult, as Mr. O'Sullivan so rightly calls it, I really want to encourage him to step up the efforts, because that hate's not going to make us stop. People are going to be exposed. The truth is going to be told. And I suspect millions of South Africans are going to be really disappointed in the newfound hero. It's going to be a very months.
Were you surprised that he singled you out for criticism in front of the Madlanga Commission?
Surprised at the press conference, not the Madlanga Commission. He didn't mention my name at the press conference, but he might as well have. And it was at this point that I look at the number one crime fighter in the country in a totally different light. Because I knew exactly what I did. I know exactly what was in the evidence that I presented to the police services. The evidence is as damning as it is shocking. And if you are banging for the people accused of stealing, then it makes me look at your motives. And let's just say that when you delve a little bit deeper into what is before you, it's actually quite shocking. I'm going to speak in front of the commission. I'm going to speak in court. I'm expecting to be arrested and chopped, trumped up. Nonsense, but we are prepared for this. We are 100% prepared for this.
Before we go into more of those details, you did serve, after you started the political party that you now represent, you did get a couple of seats on the Cape Town Metro, and you did serve there with Neil de Beer at the same time. Did you ever get to meet Neil?
Neil de Beer was like a big brother. We agreed on the fundamentals and disagreed on many things. But, you know, Neil was he was cut from a different cloth from most men. He was a good man. He was an honest man. He was a straight shooter. He'd tell you where to get off if you needed. You think nothing of calling me up and telling me, no, I don't think you're right on this one, but I dare disagree that you turn into a shouting match. And when you see Neil again, you just love him all over. He was just different. He's a great loss to this country. I'll tell you that for free. And, you know, if I could have a conversation with God, I'd tell him, you know what, we'll swap you Mkhwanazi for Neil to be a day of the week.
It is interesting, and you reminded me quite a lot of him, given your background and his, and the way that you've sat in the fire. You've been through it. You've been in gangsterism. You came out of gangsterism. You, according to the profiles on you, you've had addictions. You've got through it, and you almost seem to be a bit like Neil, where it says, "Well, you know, life is about telling the truth." That's kind of the way I read you.
You know. If I was to live 100 lifetimes, I don't think I'd ever be the man Neil Dabir was. Neil Dabir was different. Neil Dabir was a white South African, a Boer boy, who came from a family with a bit of money. If he wanted to, could have been an apartheid president. He chose to fight for people like me. How can I not love that story? He said, you know what, guys, white privilege is not going to work for me. Give me my machine gun. I will fight for those who have nothing. How can I not love a man like that? No one will ever tell me a bad word about me. And I mean, he wasn't perfect, but no one's going to tell me he wasn't perfect. He was my
big brother. Did you talk to him? And I know we're going a little bit off pat here, but about the documents that were, again, it's well known, they were pushed under your door in Parliament. You were elected to Parliament in 2024. Quite extraordinary, actually. You found a political party. You and one of your colleagues are in Parliament now. You get these documents. Watching one of the interviews you gave, you said you had to read them four times to actually see what was going on there. Can you tell us more about that? And indeed, did you bounce the idea things off someone like Neil?
The cases are sub judice, so obviously I can't say anything because I don't do anything to jeopardize what I hope will be. So I'm going to say as little as I can. But I had a word with Neil, and he said to me, I'm not surprised. He said, and he had a very peculiar way of saying my name. Neil, I'm not surprised. This has been going on for too long. But you must also remember, at this time, Neil was not in the best of health. You know, he's not that strapping big boy that he used to be, and he's struggling. And, you know, the fear of death, I think it kicked in around about that. And trust me when I tell you, he didn't really show it. That was there. So you don't want to burden a man like this. This wasn't his fight anymore. He's run his race. And may God bless his soul. But this fight is for the rest of us now. This is for the petition Mashalis. It's for the people that can see the wood from the trees. We got 68 million South Africans. I think they pulled the wool over 7 million of the eyes. But the you see, when the general calls that press conference, he makes certain very, very fundamental mistakes. He claims that he's going to come and he's going to bring receipts of what he's saying. But if you watch the commission, it was the backup. It was just allegations. He was throwing as much mud as he could to see what was going to. But the general must answer a few fundamental questions. Like, what was the need for that military attire? And who was he talking to when he was screaming, rise up, rise up? The premier is not in the country. Now, what I know as a South African is that in Africa, coup d'etats, they happen when the president's not in the country. People are calling that a show of force. Well, he's saying it was a show of force. I'm asking, was it sedition? Was he trying to incite a coup? Because I'm beginning to understand at those charges that I laid, the seven generals are now before the court. They appeared before court yesterday. I'm beginning to understand that this is really irked General Mkhwanazi. And all of my charges, except one, they relate to the Secret Service Fund, the slush fund, the ATM for certain high-ranking policemen. So the question I'd want to ask General Mkhwanazi, the political killing stars team of yours that you were so attached to, how much money did it receive from the top? Was it zero? Or was it millions? From the slush fund side. Or was it millions? Because this task team, it seems to be in constant need of money. And people need to question this. Because how do you give 100 million rand per year to a task team comprising of, I think, it's 39 members, excluding salaries? Why are these people living like rock stars? They're whining, dining, and living five-star. Oyster box. Umshlanga rocks. This is not how you treat a task team. Then the question is, how many investigators does a task team have? Zero. It's a combat squad. That's why the last entry into the investigation was in 2022. Now we ask ourselves, how many murder dockets does this task team send? Because it's a political killings task team. Alec, how many murders do you think they're sitting with? 58.
No idea. 58.
39 members sitting with 58 dockets for half years. That's 1.5 dockets per member at a cost of 100 million rand a year. Do the maths. The age you on the Cape Flats, where 3,000 people die every year. 3,000, not 58. 3,000 have a budget of 7 million rand. Why the disparity? Is it because it's colored children dying out? Or is it because certain politicians are chowing at this APM they call the political killings task team? Certain politicians and certain high-ranking generals. So South Africa is at a crossroads. And South Africa must decide, are we on the verge of becoming a dictator? I see a general claiming that everybody that runs a different narrative to him should be investigated. Journalists, the complainant, IDAC, the prosecutor, the judge. We are all up to something if we don't agree with the general. So only the general is right. And people who question are wrong. Now, understand something. You really got under my skin when you said that the people that came from Umkhonto were seized, disrupted the discipline of the South African police services. It was a smear on the name of people like Jeremy Deering, like Andre Lincoln. And I'll tell you why. Nkwanazi joined SAPS in the 90s. He's an apartheid era policeman. And you have an opinion of young men who went into exile to fight for people like. You're not entitled to have that opinion. You're an apartheid operative. You don't get to have that. These people were prepared to die for our freedom. Who signed up to join the state that was keeping us down? There's devils to this. You know, if de Klerk and E.W. Botha were having a discussion about Nkwanazi right now, Botha would be showing this finger and he'd probably be saying, that's a good boy. How this country is eulogizing this man. I'd like to know where the IDAC report is into that Louis Vuitton bag. I'd like to know where that report is. As far as I know, that thing has never been investigated. I want to know where this man gets this immunity and this impunity from to say and to do and say what he likes. I'd like to know how Sabine is suspended on the basis of an allegation, but Kumalo was still at work at the city. It's different strokes for different folks. This, I tell you, is not about subs. This is a battle for the control of the country. And if we lose this, those of you with passports, I suggest moving. Because this is not going to be a pleasant place.
It's a very impassioned and quite compelling argument that you've given now to us, Fadil. Thank you for that. But if we have a look at the allegations that Mkhwanazi made very publicly at the commission against you. He said you shouldn't have had access to the records. You are manipulating systems that you shouldn't have known about. You're not on the Joint Standing Committee. I mean, these are interesting allegations. How do you respond to them?
So I come into possession of documents. I didn't break into the Office of Intelligence. I didn't jump a 7-foot wall, cut the barbed wire, bypass the alarms, knock out the security guard and steal the documents. I didn't ask for those documents. But when I saw what was before me, I took those documents to the South African Police Services because it was all copies. I can't authenticate these copies, these documents. I can't verify it. But here you go. You guys are investigated. You will know what to do with it. Mkhwanazi is saying that I should have returned the document. The French people have had it for years and did nothing with it. Mkhwanazi is in actual fact asking me to. Well, I will not. He's got an issue with me. He's even stops with the documents. That's okay. It should go and lay a charge so the court can decide. He said I belong in Portsmouth for it. We cannot be the investigator, the prosecutor, and the judge. It doesn't work that way. Someone needs to explain to this man our constitutional democracy. But here's the question to Mkhwanazi. You don't have clearance either, but you have access to top secret documents. Because he told the portfolio he doesn't. He does not receive classified documents. How is he a provincial commissioner? A provincial commissioner who doesn't know what's happening in the province because he doesn't have access to classified documents. Alec, you make that make sense. Because he's got to dispense a budget. He's got to work out strategy and he's got to give directive and he's got to do all this without knowing what's happening at top secret level. The general's a genius. So if I'm to be jailed for having top secret information, make sure that the two of us can sell. There's a few things I'd like to say to him.
It's an extraordinary time that we're going through in South Africa and very much a situation where the media is being played, I think, in one sense or the other. At BizNews, we're a platform. We like to give all points of view, and I'm very grateful that you've agreed to come on and to express your side of things. What about in Parliament, though? Have you had support or antagonism from other MPs?
Ian Cameron has made it clear. The crime fighter who screamed that didn't seem to be to Parliament has made it clear. He's drawn the line. He's shown his true colors. We know where he stands. The EFF, they did fight for that discussion to happen about what happened with those hotels that they bought. We lost that fight because the chairperson took a stand. It flew to the generals. That's okay. The truth will reveal itself. But I want to say this to you. And this is what the president must pay attention to. We got a national commissioner without political. I'm reliably told we've got at least five provincial commissioners who don't have top level clearance. I'm told that there are people with fraudulent clearances within crime intelligence. Now, when you sign your employment contract with SAPS from a brigadier upwards, was now your senior management. There's a clause in there, I think it's paragraph 4, that says my ascent to this office is based on me receiving and attaining top-level security clearance. There's people there that haven't had clearance. People there that that's clearance have 2 or 3 years ago. There's people there that haven't applied for clearance. There's people there that have failed and they're still operating at a top secret. The South African Police Service, the top management of it, has collapsed. And that blame should be laid at the door of finding us all at the National Commission. Now, this morning we learned that the Inspector General of Intelligence has been suspended. You explain to me why Masimola is not suspended. Explain to me why Kumalo is not suspended. Well, ask the question why. There's clearly something at work here. There's something at
work. It's an extraordinary... Yep. And so we will, and that is what members of Parliament are supposed to be doing, asking the difficult questions, raising the subjects. They are the representatives of we the people. And Fadil Adams, if what he's done is wrong by taking documents and laying a court case or a charge with the police, let the police investigate it. If that's wrong, then you have to wonder what in South Africa is right. Fadil Adams is a Member of Parliament and the President of the NCC. I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.